The title of today's talk is Drag Anchors. When I first started flying and was taking training, and especially for overseas foreign travel, you'd have to cross the ocean, either going across the Pacific or you'd have to go across the Atlantic. And those are fairly big bodies of water. So what wouldn't seem essential for domestic issues, you really, for international, when you spend vast amounts of time over water, you have to have training for survival if the plane ditches in water. So I was a novice to the idea that if a plane went down in the ocean and you could manage to offload your passengers into the rafts that are provided, you had to know how to manage to get those down and how to deploy them and how to get your passengers out on the wings and into the rafts. And you had to understand what few supplies you had in the raft for survival. And during that period of time of training, one of the things that surprised me was that they have what are called drag anchors or sheet anchors. But these sheet anchors are small ones compared to ones used on ships that are a stabilizer for a big ship if their anchor should fail. And they're made basically out of a heavy-duty nylon. And they look like a something that looks like a bucket with an open end, two open ends. But they're attached to cords that go to the raft. Now, the purpose of a sheet anchor or a drag anchor is to keep you close to the vessel that last sent out the Mayday or the SOS, so that searchers would be able to more easily locate you. If you're just adrift in the ocean, that can be a difficult situation, to say the least. So every spiritual tool acts like a drag anchor that pulls your attention back from the ego claptrap to relaxed transmuting energy to the mothership, so to speak, to the attention of the soul. Spiritual tools aren't just remembering the work, but transmuting the energy and chemistry and transmuting cells of the body and mind. So it's not just to keep you from going back to ego nonsense or to doership, which is a killer because you're trying to learn that there's only one doer and you're not it. Gee, let me see, who created this universe? who created the world, who created you. Oh, I forgot. Oh, I forgot. I forgot. Well, there is some excuse because your memory is erased when you're born into the body. Your memory of soul consciousness. It works in the body. It never leaves the body. But at the same time, your biological mind doesn't get it. And the reason it doesn't get it is because it's on different frequencies other than receptivity to soul frequency. Soul frequency can override, but you don't know it because you are claptrapping. You're talking to yourself, you're analyzing, you're trying, you're needy, you're wanty, all these wonderful things that keep you busy on frequencies alien to receptivity to the frequency of the soul within. So the tools of the path are sheet anchors. They're drag anchors to keep you closer to the frequency of the spirit. And you want to be close to the GPS of the soul. Hello, you know? You want to know where you are. You want God to know where you are. Yes, well, God knows where you are, but you don't know where you are. That old story I tell about the initiate of Kabir who had decided to go to Mecca for the going around the great black stone in the middle of the desert in, well, now we know it's Saudi Arabia, but in Mecca. And the ship he was crossing the Indian Ocean in broke apart in a storm, and the initiate of Kabir was going down and going up and going down. But he was basically not making it. And so he was calling for Kabir and calling for Kabir. And at the very last second, as he was going down for the third time, a hand came out of the heavens and reached down, picked him up, and carried him to dry land and set him down. Now, he didn't send him down right in Kabir's camp, which was a long way away, north of Delhi, and he had to make his way there. But when he got there, he was full of complaint. Not thank you for saving me, but why did you take so long to save me? I've heard that at Kirpal's camp several times. Why did you take so long to save me? Are you sure you saved me? I got raped anyway. Oh, are you alive? Uh-oh. Anyway, Kabir said to him, lovingly, maybe, but Kabir wasn't known for his loving talk. He was pretty straight up. Well, if you didn't call me from so far away, I would have been there immediately. But I had to come from all the way over here to save you. Okay, well, that wasn't successful as a complaint. Most complaints aren't when God's involved, you know. Kabir, Kripal used to say, in the trying, in all trying circumstances, prayer is the last weapon in our armory. Note, he did not say the first. Where all human efforts fail, prayer succeeds. How about a little effort before the last hurrah? Let's see. So the idea, we want to make smiling, conscious relaxation, joy, open-heartedness, open-mindedness, and being still for focused meditation our first resort, not our last. It's necessary for transmutation. It's the way we connect, really connect, in a permanent sort of a way with soul, the soul within, and the divine soul throughout creation, God power and master power. So if that's not our first priority, we're in trouble. Because the ego will fill in the vacancy. Not a good idea. We don't want to have ego filling in 99% of the spaces. So the idea that the tools are optional is a joke. And it's a joke that the ego uses on us all the time. It said, well, when I have time, well, later, well, when I get this job done, well, you may end up in a very deep well if you keep welling yourself. Well, maybe, well, later, well, when I can, when, blah, blah. When I'm going down for the third time? No, you see, it's not handy to wait to go down for the third time. It really isn't handy. And as I've said a gazillion times, the idea that the ego has convinced us to delay the use of a tool is so absurd that it's almost beyond comical. It's hysterical, because why would you want to be tense when you could be relaxed? Why would you want to be close-hearted when you can be open-hearted? Why would you want to be closed-minded when you can be open-minded? Why would you want to be ho-hum when you can be joyful? Why would you be a sourpuss when you could smile? So absurd, I mean, we have to get down to the brass tacks here. It is absurd to think that it's worth avoiding the disciplines of the path. When you're saying the charged names of God, you're calling on the big cheese, you know, the big powerhouse. And you think that's a problem? You're going down for the third time and it's a problem to call the names of God? Well, as you walk through your day, immersed in the ocean of drowning in your ego, calling the charged names of God might be a simple remedial action. I mean, it's so absurd to think that we think that that's hard or that's difficult. Or it should be delayed. Something else should take precedence over. Now, if the water is boiling over the stove, burning the child, yes. Okay? We would rush to the scene. We would probably be very tense rushing to the scene. However, we might also be saying, oh God, please, to the scene. In fact, the history of people in extreme danger is, oh God. It's a, you know, it's an involuntary, it's voluntary. It comes out of the mouth of people in trouble. And we have to wait to be in trouble? And we haven't practiced really well? And we haven't, let's say, primed the pump, so to speak, that there might be a reason why old God would be available? Now, luckily, you're a child. You've never outgrown childhood, so to speak. Because from the time a child begins to adventure forward and learn by driven desire and being wanting something, wanting to stand, wanting to crawl, wanting to reach, wanting the toy, wanting something. It goes on until you die. The child in us has learned really bad habits. I want to do it myself. I want to do it myself. Haven't ever heard that, have I? No. You see, I want to do it myself. They don't want help. And unfortunately, that gets imprinted from tiny childhood to death. So it just changes format. I want a good job, I want to look pretty, I want to be strong, I want to be a football hero, I want to, I need an income. I need to have a home. I need a new car. I am in need. I want. I need. And that subtlety underlying your day drives your attention away from Cimarron, smiling, relaxation. If you in need, you're tense. And if you would get a piece of equipment that could measure your tension level in your body, the amount of adrenaline that your body is producing, as opposed to the serotonin and oxytocin that are the relaxing and the dopamines that are relaxers, you're running on high octane energy. Because you're searching ways to get what you want, need. How to fix a meal for a friend, or how to do this, or when to do that, or how much it's going to cost, or where the job is, and la 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 la. And it's an endless pathology. It's an endless addiction. It is an addiction. And as Master Kripal said, we're nothing but a bundle of addictions and tension. So breaking those addictions is no simple matter. It's a full-time job. Because the subconscious is on a full-time rampage to keep you addicted. So how do we feel that we place value on a day's activities as what we donate to cognitive, conscious, doing the disciplines, the tools, using the tools? And you have tools that take you through every kind of circumstance. So you can be cooking and saying Cimarron. And wouldn't you rather have somebody singing the names of God over the food they're cooking than planning whatever, you know? How to set the table, or why it's costing so much, or good, I get so tired of having to fix another meal. And can't somebody else do this? I need a maid. Okay, you know. Or who else is going to do the yard work? Yeah. Well, I don't know. Anyway, you can see why you get off onto a tangent with the ego. Can you see how to go back without resentment to attunement to the spirit? Now, you don't think you're attuning to the spirit, you're just feeling better. A relaxed, open heart feels a heck of a lot better than an uptight, tension-laden thought pattern. Okay. Well, I've got a lot to do now. The problem with not consistent relaxing technique, attuning technique, saying the charged names of God, I mean, if you're saying, oh God, you're calling on the big cheese. You're calling on big help. Oh, big help. Is that God's other name? Yeah, big help. Okay. You're calling on big help. And you want big help, but not if you have to stop thinking about a new car. I mean, pathetic is not the word for what the ego does. It's just pathetic, really. It's beyond pathetic. I'm going down, but I'm mad at God. I'm going down. I'm dying. Oh, no. You know. When I was in India one time, there was a gal there that had, and I've told this story before, that she got a call. I was at Salon Ashram after Master had left the body, and I was on a trip over, and there was a young lady from Germany that was there, and we got to know each other a little bit, and Taiji came to the door of the ashram and said to the girl, you know, you're receiving a call from Germany. And there was only one phone in the ashram, so, you know, those days phones were rare. And so she goes in, and when she came back out, she said, oh, I have to leave to go back to Germany. My sister was in a car accident and she's dead. And she was also an initiate, had been an initiate. And so I didn't have anything more to do with her until I was on a world tour. And I got in touch with her, and she told me the story of her sister having been inspired to get in her little Volkswagen and make a trip around the area that she had oftentimes traveled in and had friends scattered around in Germany and Austria and Italy and that. And when she was on the way back, from talking with her friends, meeting with her friends, she ran off the road and hit a tree, and her car caught on fire, and she burned to death in her little car. However, she told me that her sister's arms were found up in the air, and her hands were unburned as though they had been held. And that the entire internal part of the Volkswagen had burned, but where the seat in the passenger side was, there was an unburned photograph of Kripal. Amazing. The last resort. So we can hear stories like that, and somehow or other we open a little compartment door and put it in there and rarely think of it. Rarely think of the miraculous stories of masters at work in people's lives. Now, why would the ego be so clever at hiding away such important information? Why would the ego be so clever at forgetting the last time you accidentally had a perfect thing happen that you know you didn't orchestrate, but God power, master power did, like meeting at the corner of somebody you hadn't seen for 20 years. And you just thought of them 2 weeks ago, and there they were at the corner. Haven't seen them for 20 years. Or that research paper stuff, you know, I talk about. Can't find it, sitting in the dentist office, you open a out-of-date magazine, and there's the information. You strategized going to the dentist to have the tooth pulled that just now got an infection, and you were just had too much time, and so you were looking at a magazine that was way out of date, and, you know, and it dawned on you at the moment that this was orchestrated by spirit, not you. Ah, but that was a long time ago. Why should I remember that? Why is it important today? Oh, I don't know. What was it that saved you from going over the edge of a cliff? Let me see. And I nearly got killed in an automobile accident, but I didn't. And the car was within an inch of my car, but we didn't collide. Who designed that? And those things we understand as miraculous is intervention. But we'd rather do it ourselves. And so all day long, that early impetus to do it ourselves blocks us. It's a pattern that's set so deep in the ego, we live by it day in and day out. The tension of being the doer. Okay, you want to do it yourself, here's the work. You want to do it yourself? Okay, here's the work. You want to have something on the shelf in the grocery store when you're there, or do you want to run around four different grocery stores and, you know? Oh, you mean it's self-serve? No, it's God-serve. God can manufacture anything, anytime, anywhere. And we still don't give him credit. And we still don't trust. What part of us doesn't trust? The pathological, biological ego. Plain and simple. So what do we need to down-train and out-train? The ego doer. There's no two ways about it. We have to down-train and out-train the ego. Well, I don't know how many times we have to hear it, but a lot. One's mind. He was too shy to sing, but I taught him. The sky's voice is such that one's mind must be very quiet to hear God speak. Very quiet. In my travels, I spent time with a great yogi. Once he said to me, "Become so still, you hear the blood flowing through your veins." One night, as I sat in quiet, I seemed on the verge of entering a world inside a vast, so vast, I know it is the source of all of us. Those are poems by Mira. Some of hers are pretty racy. Of course, there's many of them that are pretty racy too. They must be racing to God. Okay, the summation of everything is, are you on frequency with soul? Now. Are you or aren't you? Or are you still so tense, so involved in doership, so distracted about doing what to do, when to do, how to do, how much it will be when you do, 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 do. It's pathetic what we give up attunement for, when we could be in tune and do the same thing. But because the subconscious is so clever and so pathological and so addictive, we don't even know when we switch from being making a cognitive effort at being relaxed and joyful or open-hearted or smiling or peaceful or open-minded. We don't even realize that we switched over to doership. It just happens. Just happens. And that's why we have to understand we're transmuting. I once asked Master Kripal, "What am I?" And he simply said, "You are consciousness in the process of becoming more conscious." Simple, simple, Simon. So, you're not bad, you're just addicted. And the addiction is an intention of the soul, God power. You are to go through addiction to unaddict, become unaddicted, but addicted to spirit instead. It's a test. I didn't make it up. Go kick God in the shins when you see him if you don't like it. But it won't change the rules. The rules are attunement. The reward is you'll be a heck of a lot happier. And your ego is saying, oh no, you won't. It will be difficult. It's hard. You don't want to do that. Well, let's go out and see if we can find a new car in the... So, for trash, we give away golden moments. We give away golden moments that could be in the process of transmuting our biology, our biochemistry, our actual cellular architecture. We're giving it away for tension and nonsense. We have to reconstruct the output of biochemistry and the reconstruction of the cellular mechanisms of the body so that they reach closer to the archetype of potential for being in touch with spirit. We have to change the archetype to the archetype of attunement to spirit. So if we're in a protective, egotistical mode, we're just undoing cellular reconstruction towards being conscious of spirit, conscious of soul. Okay, we'll put that on the back burner.